The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Voice of the people. News Talk 710, KNUS, Denver. Warning, the contents of this program could help you think for yourself. It's the Peter Boyle Show on News Talk 710, KNUS.
Good morning, everyone. 710 KNUS, a little bit after 7, made it to a Friday morning. 710 KNUS Weather Center weather, warm and hazy in 85. Tomorrow, the air stays the same. Tomorrow, warm and dry, 84. And 77 on Thursday. Randy and Teague coming up, then Christian Toto coming up. Without further ado, he's a friend. He is the minority leader. His name is Patrick Neville. He sent me some outstanding things to work. Hey, Pat, good morning, man. Thanks for doing the show.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
No. Talk to the audience about what you sent me and its significance vis-a-vis the Republican Party and the campaigns in Colorado.
Well, the Republican Party is kind of has some trouble here in Colorado because it's ran by a certain set of consultants that have been kind of just hanging on to power and doing whatever they can. That's really more important to them than winning. We see it here in the state where these different groups get together and they'll spend, you know, at least in the state house races, probably four or five times more what they'll spend or four or five times more in the primaries than what they actually spend in the general elections. And then, unfortunately, even the same some of the same folks that are, you know, working on the Trump campaign and working for these different groups are out there now trying to play the blame game because it's looking like the elections in Colorado are, you know, not going to be as great as we're hoping. And so they're trying to play the blame game and try to blame Trump. But the fact of the matter is it's because these same guys will go after Republicans with, you know, complete vigor and with everything they have. But then when it comes to Democrats, they kind of like to sit on their feet and sit back. And so we've released some ads that are pretty hard hitting. We're not playing around. And what we're starting to see is there's certain Republicans out there that are, you know, criticizing us for doing that. And, oh, this is so bad. You
sit here this morning. Sit here this morning. I've often said about this young man, I really like him immensely. We had lunch together about 10 days ago, Pat Neville. All right. So you are, I don't know, you can make announcements about your career, where you're going to go, where you don't want to go, but what happened, what's going on with the Republican Party in Colorado, and how and why, and I know you're willing to name names. Pat, what are they doing?
Well, I wouldn't say it's necessarily the official party apparatus. It's the different IECs and the different groups that are outside of the Republican Party that are really controlled by different consultants. The same consultants that have made millions, you know, they live in many times bigger houses than the donors here in Colorado, and they keep losing time and time again. And like I said, they go completely after Republicans with everything they have. They ignore the grassroots, and I'm kind of done with it. And so,
really,
yeah, it's one of the reasons I've decided I'm not going to be running for leadership after the November election. I want to get back, get closer to the grassroots. Work with the grassroots. I think they've been ignored far too long. And it seems like every time we try to work with them in a leadership sort of position, then we get criticized. Every time we participate in a recall effort, these same guys come out and criticize us. Oh, no, you can't do that. And I'm kind of over that. I think the grassroots is more in touch and that we can't come back and win elections unless we actually get in touch with the grassroots.
Well, welcome to my position on the Republican Party. And I've been an observer of the Republican Party in Colorado, and one time when I came into the business, there were guys like John Love and Johnny Van and Bill Armstrong and all these really remarkable Republican men and women, and they did well. How do you think and why do you think, I mean, I have my own answer, but how do you go from a guy like Johnny Van or a guy like John Love to Walker Stapleton? How did that happen?
Well, I think, again, go back to those same consultants. You've got the different groups out there that they keep working, and the minute, you know, their piece of the pie, what they feel is their piece of the pie, is interrupted whatsoever, Man, they will take out Republicans. I mean, look at what they did in some of these primary elections.
Oh, yeah.
Just the mean, nasty mailers and some of the stuff they're willing to say about Republicans and, you know, even some of the stuff they said about me in the past. And
I remember.
You know, they'll go after you completely. And then the minute, you know, we go into a general election where we're facing the real enemy, which is the Democrat Party and what's turned into a very socialist party. I mean, like this ad that we put out against Breonna Taubman, it's truth. It's fact. I mean, this they're stating what's in a police report. And I mean, her Twitter profile is just unbecoming of any elected official whatsoever. And then we put that out there. And it's, oh, my goodness. Well, you shouldn't have done that. That's too hard hitting. This is a Republican that did this.
Well,
you guys would have dumped $1 million in, ruining their entire life.
How did we go from, and I, you know, I used to, the legendary Bill Armstrong, and we disagreed on a lot of aspects, philosophical aspects, religious aspects. But I used to write for him, and I would have lunch with him and talk with him. The guy was a brilliant man. How did we go from Bill Armstrong to Cory Gardner? Seriously.
Yeah, it's interesting to say. I mean,
seriously.
Yeah, here's this strong.
Brilliant
senator.
Guy.
I mean,
he was brilliant.
Just,
brilliant man.
You know, and even when he was, after he left the Senate, too, he was just still very involved and very influential in,
that's when I wrote
in Colorado politics.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And now it's, oh, we've got to be, you know, the consultants want to try to push us to be this, like, kind of milquetoast.
Yeah, why?
Sort of group. And I think a lot of it, too, is it's because they're scared to take the hits.
I mean, when my brother puts out a hard-hitting ad
like that, I mean, the media is going to come after him. The media is, you know, going to do all these pieces of, you know, how terrible Joe Neville is and how terrible Pat Neville is.
Oh,
and,
no.
You know, it's easy to be a consultant when you can put out these milquetoast pieces that just really say nothing. I got a piece in the mail the other day. I mean, I love Trump to death, but this piece I got in the mail today from, you know, the state-run area, you know, Trump campaign was just, I'm like, first off, why are they sending this to
me?
But what
does it say? I haven't gotten my mail yet. What does it say?
I was just, you know, get out and vote and kind of had this, it was a wonderful mailer that had like a, you know, it was wonderful in like as far as the design of expensiveness of it, that had a kind of Trump hat cut out, a MAGA hat cut out, and but it didn't say anything much. Then come on and get out and vote. Like didn't, you know, it wasn't even really powerful. And it was sent to my household, which of course, I mean, my household's 3 of 3 Republicans. We vote in every Republican election for, you know, since we've been here. You know, we probably don't need that. So it's, you know, there's the same thing that we're kind of getting from the different campaigns. It's all just milquetoast stuff of, yay, get out and vote. Yay, Republicans. They're not sending any hard-hitting stuff. And that's part of the problem. And I think, like I said, it's because these, you know, most of these folks out there, they don't want to take the heat. They're afraid that, you know, Kyle Clark might have a, you know, segment on that certain consultant. And how dare they run these ads and,
how much money? Our guest is
amazing.
Minority Leader Pat Neville. He wrote me a really lengthy piece, and I, you know, transparency. We have lunch together. I think he's tremendous. He's one of the hopes I have for, I don't want to say Republican Party, but at least conservative thought is Pat. And there's a handful of these young guys, and they're good. And they're always knocked out of the box somehow by the power brokers. And that's the Republican. We know this. Politics is money. Money is political, is a political party. The Republican Party lost its way. I lost its way with Poppy Bush. After the end of Ronald Reagan, we need a guy. We need a Ronald Reagan-esque character here. I mean, I had lunch with some people, and I'm not going to say their names because it'd get them in trouble, but I brought that up. You got to find a Ronald Reagan character. You got to find a Jack Kennedy. You got to find a you have to find somebody and build around that person. And I was thinking about it last night because everybody's all jerked up about me taking on the Republicans and talking about the outcome of this election. I would not put you on the spot, Pat, to ask you about what you think Colorado is going to do in November, but it isn't good. And
no, I think that's exactly what's happening. That, you know, it's not looking that great in Colorado. That's kind of some of the polling that we're seeing. And we got to get out there and step it up. And what we're seeing, instead of getting out there and stepping it up and, you know, actually running some hard-hitting pieces and whatnot, we're seeing this same consultants try to turn to say, oh, well, it's just all Trump.
Yeah, no.
Didn't overcome Trump.
Yeah, no.
It's the same thing they did in 2018.
Right. Remember Mike Coffin running ads that he'll stand up to Trump. And I went, you don't stand up to Barack Obama. Why are you going to stand up to Trump? And he was their pick.
Yep. Yeah, you know, running ads and mailers too, then saying paid for by Colorado Republican Party.
Yeah, paid for.
You know, the other thing that these same folks don't exist or don't you know understand is that the unaffiliates are unaffiliates because they don't like either party. Mm-hmm. So we're not gonna you know win elections by saying just yay Republican. We got to define what a Republican is and actually stand.
Well,
for
that's my point. Yeah, that's
attract
my point.
People.
Yeah, and got to put some teeth in the ads. You got to do, you know, get out and campaign, take the hits. Pat Neville's with us.
Sometimes you got to show the enemy.
Well, yeah. I mean, I just a friend of mine and I watched the replay of the Cory Gardner Hickenlooper debate. Cory Gardner clicked him and he beat him. And my friend says, why don't they take some of the cuts from those ads and run them as commercials? I still don't understand why they don't run the homeless ads. John Hickenlooper's Road Home, you know, I mean, just a million different things, the roads, you know, all the kind of stuff that really are good ads. Instead, we're washing off a Maserati or we're standing outside of a private jet without saying, where did he go when he took that private jet ride? Or where did he go when he went to Italy? They went to Turin. What were they doing in Turin? They weren't tourists. What were they doing? And that would wake people up. Ah. So what do you think? Right. What do you think, Pat Neville's here? What do you think happens?
Well, you know, I think it's starting to look pretty gloomy, at least in Colorado. That's kind of what I'm seeing from the certain polls we're seeing and whatnot. You know, it's tough. People are doing their best. You know, I don't blame the state party apparatus. I think it's different in Colorado. A lot of people don't understand the state party apparatus can't do a whole lot. It's mostly these outside groups that go and get outside, get the big dollar donations. I mean, I'm talking people probably don't realize this, but in certain House primary races, there was like $500,000 spent in a House primary. I mean, when we're sitting here, we've raised, luckily, you know, in our arm, we kind of saw that the establishment wasn't going to be favorable to us. So we started up Take Back Colorado.
I remember.
And that's takebackco.org. And we started up that, and we were able to raise about $350,000 from small donors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people like that listen to your show that are listening now that helped us out.
Yeah.
But we, in comparison to, you know, these spending $2 million in primary races, I'm just looking at it going, wow, I wish, you know, I had that much money to spend in the general election. Yeah. No one's ever spent that much on House races in the general election.
You know, if Pat Neville's here and Randy and Tigger coming up, if, as my grandma would say, God forbid Biden wins, this is going to totally embolden all of these guys in Colorado. If Hickenlooper wins, it will totally embolden all of them in Colorado. Now what?
Yep, and that's the worry. And if we don't take back the Senate, we don't win back some seats in the House. We think what they did in the 2019-2020 legislative sessions was bad. Oh, my goodness. We are going to be in for it in Colorado. Yeah. And so that's why we're running these hard hitting pieces and this stuff from Take Back Colorado. We're not trying to play games.
It breaks my heart.
We see the writing on the wall.
Yeah, I'm having a text thing with Randy. I love Randy. Randy and I, we just fight like cats and dogs, but I really love Randy. And I'm so angry at the Colorado Republican Party and its maturations and its mechanics and its commercials because it's my future, it's everybody's future. And Randy and Tigger coming up. And I got to tell you something. If Hickenlooper pulls this off, you know, it's trouble. It's big trouble. And then I made that running gag. Then Norm Brownstein will control two U.S. senators, Michael Bennett and John Hickenlooper. But we're at a crossroads right now. And I tell you, Pat, I'm sweating rocks. And when you get,
as am I.
And man, I know you
don't, you know, actually pay attention and involve the grassroots, then we're going to be in big trouble. So that's what we're trying to do. And
I think so as well.
Again, I don't blame, like, it's not the actual official state party, but it's, yeah, these different outside so-called party groups
that ultimately
get all the money.
Yeah, but ultimately it gets down to, I wrote that column, I call it The Lord of the Rings, One Ring to Control Them All. It ultimately gets down to the shot callers. It ultimately gets down to the funders. These are the people who brought you Walker Stapleton. You can't get around that. I don't know.
Yep, and what we see, you know, the state party, too, is time and time again, the RNC comes in and takes over the show and hires the same people.
Oh, yeah.
It's my last, because, you know, people talk about the deep state. I'm like, we have a deep state of, you know, a consultant corps here in Colorado.
Oh, yeah. No, they run the show. And why won't these people at least say, don't run those ads? For God's sake, let's do a better ad. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's throw some punches. You know,
okay to learn from your mistakes. If you run, if you think that it's a great idea to put these glowing, wonderful pictures of your opponent on a mail piece and make them, you know, practically glamour shots of your opponents on a mail piece, and you think that's a good idea, and it turns out you lose that election big time, well, don't do it again.
I know one thing that if what I think is going to happen happens, will they learn? You know?
No, probably not. I mean, unless, you know, we have some other sort of organization that's actually doing the opposite and being effective. And again, that's why I've decided not to run for leadership. I want to get back with the grassroots and actually get in touch with them. It's tough when I try to do this stuff and work with the grassroots, and then, you know, a couple of Republicans will come out and, you know, yell and holler.
Oh, I've seen them attack you.
Go to the press and
I've seen them
talk trash about me in the press and talk trash about other Republicans in the press.
I know. I've seen it. I've watched it. You're a good man. This is a wonderful young man. If the conservative movement in Colorado has hope, this young man's part of it. His name's Patrick Neville. He's minority leader. And you're saying that's enough of that.
I can be more effective outside of
it. I know.
So it's truly, you know, that's the goal here.
We're at a crossroads. I mean, we really are. I mean, history always teaches these stories about crossroads moments. I think the 1860 election, where it was Mr. Lincoln's election, but there hasn't been one like that for a long, long time. And we've talked about the different people who are at the crossroads and what takes place. And I read you, this is from Dr. June Depp, who was with us this morning. And this is a guy I admire. And Brian writes to me this morning, he's, listen, Colorado Republicans have the Jeb Bush, Mitt Romney wing of the party providing political advice. Peter, that's why they're losing. So right. So right. And this is, you know, the people that want to die on the tips of the spears of the Republican Party. Burn the thing down. Start again. Make it the Phoenix Bird. You know, bring it back. Bring it back. It happened after all the destructiveness of the Republican Party. It took Ronald Reagan to bring it back. And we know from, I've read, you know, I don't know, 10 books on Reagan. The establishment of the Republican Party did not want Ronald Reagan. They wanted Poppy Bush. They wanted those people in there. And that was why there was a marriage between Reagan and Poppy Bush. But as Lou Cannon wrote, in the 8 years that Ronald Reagan was president of the United States, not one night did the Bushes come upstairs for dinner with the Reagans. They did not like each other. And you need the Reagan guy. Reagan brought the Republican Party out of the Nixon fire. And we need somebody to come along in the Colorado Republican Party and take it away from Cory Gardner and the rest of the people who run it, the Beaupres and the rest. And they need to flame it and stand up and say, we're going to start again. And you can go to young men and women and say, here's a reason that we're good, like Reagan's clarion call or even what Jack Kennedy did. And it needs to happen again. I thought Trump had
right.
Man, I mean,
we can't give up either. I mean, like Reagan, he could have given up after 68.
Yeah, well, yeah. No, Reagan.
That great speech and everything.
Yep, he
and
did.
This guy gets hammered. He kept at it.
Yes, he did. You take care of yourself, son. We'll talk. Pat
All right,
Neville.
Thanks, Pete.
All right, Randy and Tig coming up about what's going to happen tomorrow at Civic Center.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. We now return to the Peter Boyle Show.
A lot of flying email this morning. Two guests on hold. Stand by, everyone. 24 after the hour 7. 724, 710 KNUS, Denver's Talk Station. 710 KNUS Weather Center. Weather, hazy and warm today, 85. Tomorrow be great for the event. Tomorrow, warm and dry, 84, 77 on Sunday. Bring them up, please. Please say good morning. Welcome back. I've had two radio shows this morning, one with the audience and one with Randy. And ladies and gentlemen, Teague Teagans. First of all, Randy, good morning, man. Thanks.
Morning, Pete.
Hey, man. Teague, good morning. Welcome back to the show. Good morning. Randy
good
and I.
Morning.
Yeah, guys. Randy and I go at it like cats and dogs about politics, the Republican Party, but for the record, he's my boy, and I love him very much. On the other hand, we fight. Tig's with us. let's begin. Whose idea was it for tomorrow? And I got a lot of follow-up questions. I think, Tig, I think you're the one that starts this, so it's yours.
No, I think Polis gave me the idea.
Did he? Okay. The cops gave you the idea. Cops gave you the idea.
Just seeing a lot of stuff going on, you're getting close to the election. You know, I think it's time for us Patriots to come together and, you know, just we got to start pushing back against all the, I'm going to say, the oppression from the left and from the, you know, these other organizations that are just trying to silence us because they don't like our opinion on things, and they don't want us to express our First Amendment right. And any time we try to do something, they want to come out and attack you. Not just, you know, counter protest you. Literally, they want to attack you, just like they want to do at this rally. That's all they call for, is nothing but violence. And we as Patriots, we need to start coming together and organizing and pushing back. It's enough has got to be enough. I mean, if, like I was talking to Randy a little bit earlier, you know, you got a communist party in America threatened to attack fellow Americans at a Patriot rally. If that doesn't piss you off and motivate you to come out, nothing ever will. You'll just sit in your house and cower until the day you die. That's my opinion.
The last time it happened was a Civic Center get-together, and the Denver police stood down. We have talked about it. We've talked about the vanishing of the chief of police, the manager of safety. The real spokesperson for the Denver PD now is Nick Rogers. Randy, have you guys asked for a permit for tomorrow?
Well, I just want to make clear the pro-police rally was Ron McLaughlin's gig, and I MC those for him and happy to be associated. I did hook up with Tig and his wingman, Jeff Ludwig, shortly after the pro-police rally, and we talked about what happened on July 19th. But this is Tig's baby, and I have not been involved in talking with police or anything else. I'm just going to be there to back the Patriot muster.
Tig, have you talked to the cops at all about this, or have you talked to anybody in the city?
Well, of course they contacted me because, you know, they got to do their due diligence, just like they do, you know, when the other side does things. Say, hey, what's going on? What's your agenda? Do you plan on, you know, they ask you, you don't plan on getting violent and stuff like that. And obviously, no, I never plan on getting violent. You never want to get violent. You never want to attack a fellow countryman in the first place. And so they just want to know what my agenda was. And that was pretty much it. You know, we went through the process trying to get permits. I'm not waiting for a yay or a nay because my opinion is the city probably don't want us to have one anyways, but you know, if they're going to sit down there and they're going to go riot and protest and destroy things without permits, why should we have to have a permit just to have a gathering? So that's kind of my mindset. You know, it's, you know, like the cops, of course, they're going to want to know any, you know, they should talk with both sides regardless. You know what, you know, the Denver Communist Party, they're doing a counter protest soup drive. Again, and even in that post, all they call is for violence. In other posts of that, we got people in, they're actually calling for, you know, people, you know, actually to bring their Second Amendment, this and that. You had one guy who posted about how a cop arrested him and he had a knife, and when he comes out this time, a cop does that, he's going to stab the cop. Again, all they do, they just want nothing but violence and destruction with people. And for your Patriots that are still on the fence, I mean, literally, you have a communist party wishing violence and destruction against fellow Americans that are holding a Patriot rally in America. I mean, the communists is responsible for over 100 million deaths. What is going to force you to actually stand up and be heard and seen? If you're not going to do it, you never will. People like always, I see it. It's like, well, the time ain't right. Well, the time's never really going to be right if you just sit there and say that every single time something's going on. Because by the time it's going to be too late.
Randy Corporan and Tig Tegan tomorrow, 2 o'clock, Civic Center Park. It's the return. The last time we've talked about it, Randy and I've talked about it, extensively, the chief of police, I know where he was. I know what they were doing. And if it wasn't for a SWAT lieutenant, things would have been a lot worse. Randy, what do you expect to happen tomorrow?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, the only prior experience I have with this is the Stand With ICE rallies where Aurora Police stood down the first time and stood up the second time. But, you know, we're not really making our plans based on what the Denver Police Department's going to do. The Denver Communist Party Facebook page is, you know, calling for a soup drive. We know what those soup cans are going to be used for. And as Tig mentioned, they're celebrating the idea of getting violent tomorrow. We're showing up to be patriots, to, from my perspective, since I was run off the stage on July 19th, we're reclaiming our ground for tomorrow. And, you know, what will be. I encourage folks to be smart. Don't travel alone. I'll have Tig or one of his wingmen, maybe Jeff Ludwig or somebody on tomorrow. We'll kind of talk about places to go and how to get in and out safely. But the real bottom line is our country is at stake. And whether there's an election or not, or regardless of who wins an election, if patriots don't stand up now, then communism and socialism is the future of America. And I'm not going to let that happen while I'm breathing. And clearly, neither is Tig.
Do you think they're looking?
No, I mean, that's...
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Peter.
I was going to say, do you think they are looking for a showdown with you guys?
According to BLM's post, Antifa's post, and this Communist Party's post, yes. Within 24 hours of me posting the Patriot muster, that's all they were calling for was a showdown, a fight, and violence. It wasn't anything at all. Hey, let's go out, let's be heard, let's be seen. No, it's like we got to go in, we got to hit these guys, we got to attack them, we got to stop them, we got to shut them up.
This is the fight.
So for that's all they want.
This is the fight for the streets, Randy. I've read their websites, and do you think they're looking for a showdown?
Well, they're certainly talking like it, and we know what happened at the pro police rally. We had 2 days to promote that. We had bikers and other folks who were coming. Some who got trapped on the west side of I-70. They were coming over from the western slope and the traffic. You know, I got texts 15, 20 minutes before I got up there to do the Pledge of Allegiance, and they said, we're just not going to be able to make it. This is a little better planned, and, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do. I guess the bottom line is I just don't care.
Because the...
Here's my other thing. People are actually afraid to come down to a Patriot rally. What does that tell you? I mean, seriously, what is that? You're in America, and you're scared to come down to a Patriot rally because you're afraid of what might happen. That is freaking sad and freaking disgusting. It's a disgrace to all the Americans who've died fighting communism and socialism. We should not be afraid to do this in America. We should be proud to stand up and do it in America, not scared.
What do you expect?
We're totally 100% opposite of what we should be right now.
What do you expect is going to happen tomorrow? Tig, what do you expect is going to happen?
I don't think. I expect hundreds of thousands of freaking patriots to show up, and I don't think anything's going to happen. Because I don't think anything's going to happen. I don't think they're going to do anything. I honestly don't believe the police are going to allow anything to happen. Because, again, you know, like they said, they learned the first time, and, again, this one's a little bit different. And they've been announcing that they're going to be expecting violence. So guess what? I'm not going in there to do violence, but I'm going to be prepared to do violence and defend and protect anybody and everybody that is there. You know, because, you know, my grandma should be able to come. Your grandma, anybody should be able to come. Your kids should be able to come. But that's the thing. Like, right now, people are like, I'm not bringing my kid because we're going to get attacked. I'm not bringing my kid because I don't know what's going to happen. That is just... unsat. That is just not right. And again, when people say, well, this ain't the time, seriously, if you got people that are scared, they won't even bring their kid to a Patriot rally or Black to Blue rally because it could get violent. When is ever going to be the time for you? When are you ever actually going to stand up and do something about it?
Randy, when the last time when we talked about what happened with the ICE rally, the first time that the Aurora PD stood down and what happened, the next time, I think the chief decided they were all going to be cops. The word gets away from Aurora City Council They have people that are directly connected to BLM and Antifa and others, and they sent the word, so nobody showed up. Now, the Denver cops didn't do anything the last time. Do you think they're going to be cops this time and that no one will show up, or do you think they're still coming regardless?
Well, first on the Stand With ICE rally, the second one, a ton of people showed up from the other side. They marched for miles from downtown Denver, but the police showed up in force.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not expecting a stand-up from this chief of police, this city manager, this mayor of Denver. What the cops on the ground can do, given the risks to their jobs, I just don't know. So I plan to show up and celebrate liberty.
Well, I understand that, but reality goes off the bottom of the deck. We say it many times. If, you know, I watched the videos of those, I called them, you know, the hyenas that came over and attacked elderly people.
Yeah.
It's a bad scenario. And, you know, I think everybody caught a break on that second ICE rally because the people who initially fought decided not to fight, and I don't necessarily think it was because of the people who were on the Hill. I think it was more because the Aurora PD turtled up and they were ready. If the Denver police, how much faith and trust do either one of you have, not in the rank and file cops, but in the command staff and the mayor and the manager of safety? Randy, how much confidence do you have that they'll do their job?
I'm not relying on them at all. 0%.
All right. And Tig, the same question.
Yeah, the same thing. I mean, once you pretty much desert people, you'll never get that trust back. You'll never get that faith that you'll be there to protect them. Now, again, the guys on the ground, I think they're going to be there to do something, but I would never trust – I wouldn't even call them leader. I would never trust these politicians to do anything that's in your protection.
No, I mean, the mayor, the governor, the manager of safety, the chief of police, the city council – there's no reason to trust them, but what I'm asking is there are going to be people that are going to come, and the idea of looking for a showdown, and, I mean, there's a worst-case scenario in disguise, and you both know it.
Well, I mean, there is a worst-case scenario, but again, when is enough going to be enough? Are we always going to live in fear of possible a showdown or possible this? Until we finally start standing up and pushing back, you're always going to have that possibility. Until they realize, hey, we're done with your stupidity and your ignorance and your participation trophy attitude, it's never going to end. We have to come together. We can't live in fear. We can't, like, again, be able to, like, go and celebrate something but be in fear of retaliation against it. Until we start coming together and saying, no, we're not going to allow you to intimidate us, oppress us, and silence us, we have to come together and again, just push back. I mean, there's always that going to be that chance until we finally do something.
Randy, you take a final comment, and then Tig takes a final comment. Randy, your final comment.
Well, first, just want everybody to remember, tune in tomorrow. We'll have kind of a layout on how to get in and out of there, and you know, people need to make this decision for themselves. I didn't think twice about it when I heard that Saturday, October 20th at 2 p.m. was going to be an opportunity to celebrate America, celebrate liberty, and stand with fellow patriots. Anybody who has any doubts about it should stay away, and I just look forward to seeing everybody who can come and will come tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Tig, final question, final statement.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to see all these groups that were getting together and going downtown and, you know, against the looters and rioters and come together as one unit and be a loud voice, be a proud voice, be a patriot voice, and don't be afraid to come down. We're going to have people out there walking the streets, making sure you can get to from locations. Obviously, Denver's a big place, so we can't be everywhere, but we will have people out there that's going to help people get to the venue, because again, that's the sad thing, is that's what we have to do so people can, you know, celebrate something that they cherish, which is being a patriot, being pro-American, you know, celebrate that freedom of choice. But, you know, this other side, they don't want you to have that. So again, we just don't be afraid, come down. You're going to be protected.
Okay. Well, everybody's on their eyes this time. Randy and Tig, Randy's tomorrow morning on 710. Tig Tegan, of course, from Benghazi, and they're there tomorrow.
I'll walk you in, Peter.
No, no, that's all right. I got something to do. Tomorrow, 2 o'clock, Civic Center Park, and you know, hope for the best. It's showdowns are interesting things, fellas.
Yeah, and real quick, it starts at 2, so people that are coming should come early.
No, showdowns are interesting things. And, you know, take care of both of you. I'll talk to you both. Thanks, man. Be safe. Goodbye, you guys.
All right,
bye. All right. You want to talk? Take them out of there, man. We come back. We'll do an update on 710 KNUS, and we got coming up Christian Toto's on the show, and we got some other folks who want to come in. It's tomorrow, 2 o'clock, Civic Center Park. Hang on, everyone.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. We now return to the Peter Boyle Show.
You tell me. It's 7:46, 14 before the hour. Hayes in the city and warm. Brian Gray joins us from Alpine Planning. My boy, good morning.
Good morning, Pete. What's going on?
This is it. This is showtime. The ballots get mailed out today. Investing is a matter of trust. There's an open for you. Take it from there.
All right, sir. We're going on a 3-day run here. We got the Dow up almost 98 points. NASDAQ's up 76, and the S&P's up 15. All of this is relating to one thing, and it's the stimulus bill. 6.5 months ago, Trump signed a $2 trillion stimulus bill, the largest emergency aid package in U.S. history. Personal income rose 10.5%. That was because of the $1,200 stimulus checks and the $600 in supplementary unemployment benefits. 5 months ago, the Dems in the House of Representatives passed a $3 trillion bill for additional COVID-19 relief. 3 months ago, the extra $600 in unemployment ran out. And then 1 month ago, Pelosi says a deal is possible to help the airline industry come out of some needed trouble, but both sides just can't reach an agreement on a bill. So right now, Pete, we got two sides that are bickering with each other. We've got companies that are having to lay off thousands and thousands of people when all we've got to do is sit down. I'd put both of them in a room, and I'd lock the door, and I wouldn't let them come out until the deal is signed.
Yeah, that's always said. You do that. Yeah, that's how they used to do labor strikes. But,
yeah, it's crazy. But
these are politicians. 303-843-0918. As we say, investing is a matter of trust. The guys at Alpine are there. Brian's there. Let's see what happens next. 303-843-0918. Right now, man, everybody needs advice, and take it from Brian. Thanks, Bubba. We'll do it on Monday, man. Thank you.
All right. Have a good weekend.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
85 is the high today. We go back to the phones. This is Dean. Dean, you're on a radio show. Good morning. Dean. Dean, Dean, Dean.
Can you hear me, Pete?
There, I got you. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
I've talked to you before about the movie Tombstone, and again, this whole thing kind of reminds me of Tombstone with the Red Sash Boys have just pushed too far, and the Earps are coming back to push back. And again, the old term, I think we're headed for a reckoning.
Well, reckonings are showdowns or moments. I don't know. What do you think?
You know, it's funny. I traveled the Front Range from Colorado Springs to Wyoming. And if you're in inner city Denver, you see a lot of Biden signs. You get out to where people are really working, the oil field people, the agricultural people, and you see Trump signs. And again, I think that just tells you a lot.
It will be the state of Colorado, which has been the ongoing argument, the Republican Party, the state of Colorado, the Republican Party in America today, the real true Republican Party, hates Donald Trump. Donald Trump invented his own political party, and I'm part of that movement. I'm not part of the Republican Party. I got an email here. I'll read it to you. Make no mistake, you're absolutely correct, Peter. The Republican Party of Colorado has got to be run by the anti-Trump deep state. I've been fighting that for the past 5 years. I was the 2016 Trump Weld County chair, spoke to the Greeley rally, the stories I could tell, and it goes on from there. We are at a really, you talk about a showdown. This country's at a showdown moment.
I think it's the crossroads of the nation. I think the next 4 years, either way, is going to determine which way this country goes.
Well, if these Biden people get their hands on the throttle, you hide and watch. In the meantime,
unfortunately, it's not Biden people. We've said before, he's a puppet.
I said that. That's why I say the Biden people, not Joe, because
right.
But we're at a terrible moment in this country right now, and I think we're close to civil war. And I worry.
I've worried about that too, and I wonder what would civil war look like in this country. Because again, you don't have the north, the south. It's pretty much the inner city and the rural people. And the difference there. Fighting.
It would be so horrible to even think about it. If you're thinking, and I do think about it, if tomorrow. In fairness, if something happens, if there's a spark, that's all it takes. And controlling the streets, its history goes back to the French Revolution. Who controls the streets? And whether it's this party or that party, but the battle to control the streets. And Randy and Teague are right about watching what's happened all summer, the burnings, the lootings, everything that's happened, the absentee management of Michael Hancock and Jared Polis and the manager of safety, the chief of police. Those things are all true. But this young faction that sees itself as the Red Guard or sees itself as Bolsheviks or sees itself as whatever they see themselves, they're coming to fight. And...
well... I don't want to see violence, but said, at what point do you not stand up? A bully is a bully until you bully him back.
But again, the people that should have been standing up earlier, it shouldn't be Randy and Teague. It should have been Jared Polis and Michael Hancock. But they're Democrats.
That's humorous, though.
I understand it. I get that. But it goes back full circle to who is in charge. And when you go to places that there's Republicans in charge, Republican states and the very few Republican cities that are left, this doesn't happen.
I agree.
And so we get back to, going to 30,000 feet and looking down. It was taken away. And, the Teague and Randy and others feel like they have to go confront these people. But they're coming to be confronted. It's coming. It goes back to, historical parts of this are legion. Who controls? As if the streets are important, because the ballot box is important. But to make the streets the place for the showdown has a real bad history to it.
Well, if Donald Trump wins, the cities are going to burn.
This isn't going to go away because Biden wins or Trump wins.
No, it's not, no.
All right. We come back, Christian Toto, lots of open lines. 85 the high, 84 on Saturday, 77 on Sunday. Again, Teague and Randy and everybody tomorrow at Civic Center Park at 2. 710 KNUS, I'm Peter Boyles. Hold on.
Three ways to reach the show. Call us at 303-696-1971. Text us on the free-to-download 710 KNUS app. Or send us an email. Just go to the Peter Boyles page at 710KNUS.com and click on Email the Show.